Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. Today we have a very special guest. He is the founder and editor-in-chief of Mac Stories, Federico Vitici. Hopefully I didn't botch your name. I said it correctly, as you know, otherwise I'd be an ashamed Italian myself over here. How's it going, man?
That was perfect, by the way. Perfect. Okay, cool. Pronunciation. Thank you so much for having me on. Hey guys, thank you. It's fun to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. So iPads, I mean, this is right up your alley. That's why we brought you on. We've got new iPads. We've got iPadOS, iPadOS 16. So Hartley, I know you've got a lot to talk about with iPadOS 16. Let's start there. And what would you like to ask our special guest about iPadOS 16? I could take a guess on what you're going to say, huh?
Well, I think the elephant in the room with iPadOS is obviously Stage Manager. So that's got to be the best place to start. And I think it is the feature that people were most intrigued by anyway after WWDC earlier this year. And before we tear into it, as I think we inevitably will, I think we should maybe focus on what Stage Manager does well, because I think it definitely does do some things well. I'm personally, at least conceptually, interested in what is imagined behind Stage Manager. So Federico, what do you think Stage Manager does well, I guess, to start?
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's a very complex topic, right? And anytime you bring up multi-windowing and a multitasking environment, it's very hard to define like a single method to do windowing. That's why on macOS, you know, and on Windows, I mean, you take a look at those desktop OSs, you have multiple ways to manage your windows, because it's the kind of topic where it's very hard to, as this kind of visual metaphor, to find the one solution that works for everybody. And so I think what Stage Manager does well, and when it works, it's really quite nice, I think, is, you know, just having four apps open at the same time, you know, having going beyond those limitations of split view and slide over, and to have this workspace where you can have Safari and Google Docs and you know, messages and music all open at the same time. And it's very reminiscent of a desktop OS, but you're still using a tablet. When that clicks, I think, and I've had multiple of those moments over the past few months, I think that's really nice. And I think what also does, what Stage Manager does nicely, I think, is it's very much optimized for one side of the iPad market, which is the people who maybe want to have more apps open at the same time, but also don't want to manage them. Now, my concern here is that I don't know exactly how big this market is. Like, what's the overlap between, like, if you were to imagine a Venn diagram, how would you place, like, people who want to have multiple windows and people who want to have multiple windows without managing them? Like, I'm not sure exactly how big this market can be. But if you're in that camp, like, yes, I want to have more apps open, but I couldn't care less about managing them, then great. Stage Manager probably does the job for you, right? Because it has these presets for window sizes. It sort of adjusts the placement of windows for you. It takes care, like, it removes a lot of friction from the experience. And that, if you like it, then I guess it's nice. And it does the job pretty well. And lastly, I would say, there is something to the idea of having multiple workspaces, right? And having a preview of those workspaces right there in the strip, which is, you know, there's a whole conversation to be had there about the design and the functionality of the strip. But the core idea, I think, is sound in terms of showing you a preview of all your spaces, right? Workspaces, which is where the similar functionality on macOS spaces kind of falls short, because it's hidden by default. And so usually if it's out of sight, out of mind, that's one of the biggest downsides of spaces on the Mac, You don't see them. You need to go look for them. And the strip, in theory, is always visible. So that, I think, is what Stage Manager probably does well. I guess. Yeah. I would say maybe that's... maybe.
That's kind of a mess if that's the only thing it does well, because I feel like the list of problems are going to be too long, but we might as well dive into it. Unless, Hartley, you have any other comments you want to say about what it does well, because I fully agree with what Federico said. I think that that is its strengths, and I do think it has gotten a lot better, definitely, since the betas. I think we should definitely express that it was a mess from the first beta on, and that's what betas are for. They're used to, you know, to experiment and have the public try out and figure out what other bugs might be out there in everyday use. Hartley, do you have any concerns? Or, I mean, I'm sorry, not concerns, but do you have any other comments about how you feel with Stage Manager in the good sense of things?
Well, what's interesting to me is that Stage Manager is not just the experience that you get for Stage Manager on the Mac. It is imagined in a iPad-specific way, where almost the whole other experience of iPadOS is this very opinionated, very minimalist experience to what you get with the Mac. And so I really like the idea of reimagining a windowing multitasking experience in that way. I even actually quite like the system of rails to manage the windows. I find that quite satisfying, the way that everything just easily snaps to a size, and it's not giving you that level of pixel precision, because if I'm using my iPad, I do want that slightly more minimalist and easy experience. And I guess that's the trade-off that Apple has had to come up with. So that's what I like about it in theory. I think for me, that's where it is with Stage Manager at the moment. I like the idea of it more than I actually like using it.
All right.
That's a great point, I think. Like what you just mentioned about, like, I actually like, in theory, the idea of having this rails for placing windows. And I think what where the biggest problem lies maybe is that it would have been nice to have options, right? Because like I said before, it's very hard to define one method to do windowing, right? Especially when the iPad user base is so diverse at the moment. You have people like me, I used to use a Mac, and then I preferred to switch over to the iPad. And then you have new users. You have users who may be familiar with some traditional computing features like windowing. You have people who are not familiar with them. And so I think the problem with Stage Manager is that it's like Apple wanted to have it both ways, essentially, which is we want to keep the iPad's sort of single window approach. That's why when you Stage Manager on the iPad defaults to opening an application in a single workspace every time. But at the same time, you want to have windowing. And we want to have windowing, but without the same features of macOS. So this sort of hybrid in trying to always be in the middle of the iPad way and the Mac way, I think the risk is that you're not going to please anybody. Because in trying to, you know, have it both ways, new users are, you know, potentially going to be confused regardless. And more advanced users are going to say, well, but what about this option? What about this other option? I would like to do this and I cannot. So it's very hard to, when you make something that is a hybrid, you got to make sure that you absolutely nail the implementation of both aspects, right, of what you're trying to mix. And that's where maybe Stage Manager has a lot of problems at the moment.
And I think that is where Stage Manager goes next is interesting, because I don't think Apple is going to be able to maintain this this quite shaky balance they've got going on at the moment. I think at some point they're going to have to come down one way or the other. I'm sure by the time we get to iPadOS 17, Stage Manager will look quite different in one way or another. I'm sure this is a discussion that's going on right now, and Apple is trying to work out exactly what direction this goes in. But you've written quite a lot about some of the specific issues and some of the specific suggestions that you've had for how Stage Manager could really be improved and stabilized beyond the obvious bugs that are still pretty persistent through using it. So what are the most sort of the sort of biggest solutions you think you would encourage Apple to change?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the bugs have to be fixed, right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that just feels obvious. Like you got to make sure that the all those visual glitches and, you know, apps resetting their layouts, like all that stuff needs to be fixed. And it's a shame that it shipped like this in the first version of iPadOS. But I think like big picture, like I was saying a few minutes ago, there's this tension between wanting to offer more functionality, but kind of simplify that functionality for a broader public. And I think where I would like to see Apple go next is create a good set of defaults. And I wouldn't mind actually having Stage Manager default to, you know, the window snapping like on Rails. Like, that's fine. Make it the default option. But I think where it needs to go next is let me configure the behavior of Stage Manager. Like, if I'm the kind of user who knows what I'm doing and I want to get work done on my iPad Pro, I wouldn't mind, you know, saying, Stage Manager, let me place my windows manually. Let me have pixel precision myself. Because we know that it's technically possible, right? Pixel precision is in there right now in Stage Manager. It's just having that pixel precision requires to have a window big enough in the background. Like, there's a bunch of conditions there that just give me a setting. And same goes for like opening windows in a new workspace. I know that Federighi said at WWDC at the talk show, I believe, that sort of the approach that they followed was, we didn't want to follow the macOS model of whenever you click an icon, a new window pops up and it sort of piles on your desktop. And they wanted to sort of move beyond that and say, what if we follow the iPad model, which is when you open an app and you tap on the icon, by default, it creates a window just for itself. And that's fine. I understand that idea. But again, as a pro user, I think there should be ways for me to override this behavior. Like, I think the single biggest frustration that I have with Stage Manager right now is I've been calling it the Stage Manager dance. My friend John at Mac Stories actually came up with it. Like, the idea of when you open an app in Stage Manager, you switch to a separate workspace, and then you gotta return to the previous workspace, and then you gotta drag in the app that opened in a separate thing. Like, that whole back and forth, like, there should be ways to avoid that, right? If I know what I'm doing, I think that needs to change. And I, like, I'm trying to remember what I actually wrote in the story. But I feel like keyboard shortcuts, right? Keyboard shortcuts and yes, the kind of things that there are no keyboard shortcuts for Stage Manager at the moment.
Yes.
There's no, right?
That's what I was just about to say.
Especially on macOS.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. I was about to ask because, you know, I haven't gone into it as far as you guys probably have. You know, one of the biggest things that I complained about from the onset is I don't want to go into Control Center to turn this on. Why is there not like a, you know, shift command S for Stage Manager or whatever to first off turn it on and then be able to have different shortcuts within the actual function so that I can, you know, easily switch between these things. But,
absolutely.
I'll leave it for another day.
Absolutely. No, I agree. I think there should be keyboard integration there. There should be shortcuts integration. Like, there should be actions to enable, disable Stage Manager, or, I don't know, adding a window to a workspace. Or, I mean, on the Mac, you have those shortcuts integrations for finding windows, resizing windows. And those do not exist on iPadOS whatsoever. Like, there have been no multitasking actions in shortcuts on iPad this year at all.
And I guess that's probably coming, but it's just weird that it's not like a priority from the start, you know?
Right. I agree. So I think short term, I mean, obviously we're looking at iPadOS 16.2, restoring that external display support. So that's coming back. But I think within the iPadOS 16 cycle, I'm afraid that there's only so much that Apple can do for the very foundation of Stage Manager. Which is maybe a bigger topic that we can talk about. But I think within the cycle of 16, I think Apple can realistically maybe add options. As we were saying before, like, let me choose the window placement behavior. Let me choose what happens when I click on an icon. Maybe let me have keyboard shortcuts, as you were saying. Let me have shortcut actions. Like, all those refinements can happen, I think, before 17. But the bigger problem is, when comparing Stage Manager between iPadOS and macOS, there's a fundamental difference. Is that on macOS, developers, when they build an app on the Mac, they know that their app is going to run in a window. And there's a series of tools that they can use to optimize their apps for a windowing environment. This may not be obvious because we're so used to it, but for example, on the Mac, when you open your calendar and you click on an event, the little window, the little pop-up for the event, on the Mac, that pop-up can be placed outside of the bounds of the window. So let's say that you have an event on Sunday, right? And that's all the way to, usually that's on the right side of the screen, at least for me, because that's the, in Europe, you use Sunday as the last day of the week, not the first one. I know that some folks in America do that. But let's say that you click on an event on the right side of the window and the pop-up, wants to, appear outside of the calendar window. That can happen on a Mac because developers can sort of place these interface elements outside of Windows because they have a proper developer framework for it. And on iPadOS, right now in 16, apps have no idea that they are running in Stage Manager. And it's sort of like windowing happens to an app on the iPad. It's not something that they know. Developers have no idea. Hey, am I running in Split View or am I running in Stage Manager? They don't know because Stage Manager is just a mode that Apple added this year. And so I think the big question is, by iPadOS 17 next year, will there be a proper Stage Manager API for developers, like a real windowing API? And you can see these limitations everywhere. When you resize apps and their layouts get a bit funny on iPad, pop-ups that get super small, all that kind of stuff happens because windowing is fundamentally different between macOS and iPadOS. On iPadOS, it was just added as an override. Developers, there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do to say, let me change this design or this feature if I'm in full screen or if I'm Stage Manager. They have no idea. But that obviously, that's the kind of stuff that cannot just be added in iPadOS 16. It requires a major, major revamp of the whole thing. And maybe it'll happen next year, maybe 2 years from now. We'll see.
What about external display support? Because that was something that, a lot of people were incredibly excited for because, before we were just limited to a larger version of what you see on your iPad. You couldn't close your iPad. You couldn't have a proper way to actually use two displays at once, basically. If you just wanted a larger version, cool. And there was the whole letterboxing thing. It was a mess. Now, in theory, we have a much better way, but I say in theory because, that was also a mess. And they actually Apple actually removed this functionality for a long time. And then recently, it was just brought back in the latest beta. So have you had a chance to try it out before and then now after it's been reintroduced?
Yes. I was using it before, and I just tested it again in the latest beta. Unfortunately, it's still it's still very buggy in this first beta. We're basically picking up where we left off, I think, in August, which is when it was removed. I posted a screenshot on Twitter within the 3 minutes of using it. I got this window and the whole window turned black when I was using the external display. So it's still very, very glitchy and problematic, let's say. But I think obviously that's the kind of feature that is going to make a lot, it's going to explain Stage Manager to a lot of people. Like, I know that a lot of folks were looking forward to Stage Manager because of the external display integration. Because finally you can say, this iPad, I think something that we should keep an eye on that will probably happen is a lot of people will say, let me keep the iPad in regular split view and slide over, but just use Stage Manager on the external display. I think a lot of people are going to be interested in doing that, because on the iPad, you know, small screen, maybe split view is more optimal. But then you can say on the external display, you know, I got a 21, 24, I got a 32 inch monitor, whatever, four windows at the same time. It makes sense of that kind of display. So having this mixed behavior, split view, full screen, you know, the old way on the iPad, but stage manager on the external display, that's going to be interesting to follow. But they got to get, you know, they got to make sure that the performance is there, that this feature is polished, that it works well, that it doesn't crash. And obviously, it's going to be fascinating to see. We don't know how long this beta cycle is going to be for 16.2. But I think it's safe to assume that it's coming out before the end of the year. Apple said so. So probably looking at November to early December, I guess.
I think for me, thinking about these sort of, whether it you think of it as sort of iPadOS Classic and then this sort of new way of imagining Stage Manager, one thing I really hope Apple does is not just imagine these as two separate ways to use the iPad, because I think that one of the issues that the iPad has suffered with for many years, at least for sort of average users, is the complexity of gestures with multitasking. I think slide over has always been one of those features that people accidentally summon unintentionally. They don't understand
the amount of
what's
calls
there,
I get.
Why
the amount of calls I get from my dad trying to say what happened and how do I get out of this, and I don't know how to explain it to him. I have no idea. I just like, I'm like, wait, I'll be over in a couple minutes and I'll help you. But like, I have no idea how to explain to a person who doesn't know what's going on how to get out of that. But go ahead, Hartley. Sorry.
Yeah, so that's exactly the issue. And it's because that method of multitasking requires quite a nuanced understanding of how to interact with touch interfaces, with just exactly how long you're meant to touch in a certain area of the display. It's a hard thing to explain. And I just hope that also is iterated on as well, because just giving us a new multitasking experience doesn't necessarily resolve some of the pre-existing issues with that multitasking system, and just making it easy to use for a significant portion of iPad users, which is people that want a simpler computing experience overall. So not only do I think that Stage Manager needs to be integrated with that more classic iPad experience, I think it needs to go further. You think of the multiple different ways of interacting with Windows on the Mac now, and people complain that they're all sort of tacked on and they've come around at different times, but they still play together really nicely. Spaces, Stage Manager, Launchpad, these sorts of different ways of understanding apps, I think they do marry together relatively well. And that's one thing for me that I would like to see happen with Stage Manager, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point, because like on other desktop OSs, Mac OS and Windows, you're not necessarily switching between modes. Like, you're not explicitly saying, let me press a button so that I can go from simple operating system to, you know, a complex operating system. Like, they all coexist. Maybe, you know, that's a different kind of complexity, but you don't have to say, oh, let me literally flip a switch to make sure that I exit the simplified mode and I enter Stage Manager. And so I think another question to, you know, that I want to see what Apple does on that front is, in iPadOS 17, is there a chance to sort of have a unification of all these models, right? Where you can have a split view in Stage Manager mode. Like, you no longer need to flip a switch and say, let me exit or enter this mode. It kind of all coexists in the same place. So you can imagine, for example, you know, full screen becoming what we're used to have, two apps at the same time, that's a split view. And then if you want to have window in, like, I think there's real potential there to simplify things while at the same time giving users more flexibility. And that's maybe, I'm curious to know why I think Apple really wanted to get Stage Manager out on the iPad this year. obviously there's the, you know, maybe they thought it was ready and they were not anticipating all the, you know, all these discussions that we've been having and all these technical problems. It didn't help that during the summer they changed their minds, right? On Stage Manager, you know, now it also works on older iPads. So I'm sure that really that reversal threw a wrench in their plans. But like they were pretty adamant in terms of, no, it needs to come out this year, and at the cost of delaying external display support, but it needs to come out. And I don't know, maybe there's a story that will make more sense in the spring. Maybe there's going to be an announcement of a new iPad of some kind that is bigger. And, you know, and now you're going to see that iPad and be like, oh, I get it now. Stage Manager makes a lot of sense on that screen. And maybe that's one theory. Otherwise, maybe they just wanted to get it out this year, polish it in public, basically test it in public for a full year before iPadOS 17. That's another theory. Or maybe, you know, it's just what it is. They wanted to have this feature out. They're not going to touch it for the next couple of years. And we're going to be left here talking about it and eventually getting used to it and losing hope. That's also another possibility. And there are precedents for it. I mean, Apple is well known for introducing iPadOS features, leaving them untouched for a couple of years, and then revising them after a couple of years. So we'll see. I hope this is not the case, but could happen.
So I think we could probably spend an entire episode on just kind of crushing Stage Manager. But there are a couple of other things I do want to ask you about. So before I do that, does anyone else want to get out a final thought on Stage Manager?
One thing I want to say is that I understand, and I know that there's a lot of people who are actually saying right now, but I like Stage Manager. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that I want to highlight the fact that I would be so happy to use Stage Manager without issues. Like, if I really want to use this, I really want to like this. I really want to use my iPad with multiple windows all the time. Like, I think a lot of people were under the assumption that I was going to, you know, quote unquote, hate Stage Manager. That's not the case. I think you can like an idea, but still criticize the implementation of it.
Right.
And that's my position right now. Yes.
I don't think any of us actually hate or dislike the idea, or even maybe the product as it is right now. You just want it to be better. And that's understandable from a trillion-dollar company like Apple. You just expect better, you know? And really, part of my theory on why Stage Manager is, you know, was pushed out. Well, look at the rest of the update. There's really not a lot there, and that's kind of what I wanted to go through. We could kind of go through rapid fire here. I mean, what else is really iPad specific? The Freeform map, which we just got a full taste on. That's not really iPad specific. Eventually, it's going to make its way to the Mac. I'm guessing. They did say that, right? So that's going to make its way.
You can use it.
Yeah,
you can,
that makes
use it
the most
on
sense.
Mac, I think. Yeah.
I don't know
it's,
about
it's on the iPad, right? With Apple Pencil support, it's really meant to be used on the iPad,
right? But I imagine on the Mac, people can obviously make edits and do the FaceTime calls and all of that. I don't know if it'll make its way to the iPhone, but you know, who knows? But that we have Freeform, and then really like display zoom and reference modes. Not a lot of average people are going to be using that. I mean, display zoom. Let's ask you, did you switch between them and find anything that you liked that wasn't the default setting?
I mean, it's nice when you go from the default view to the more space view.
Yeah.
If you have, I mean, obviously I wear eyeglasses, so you know, if you have good eyesight, I mean, it's going to make everything smaller, right? You're going to get smaller text, smaller everything, just like on a Mac, when you say more space, it makes everything a bit more compact, but you can fit more stuff on screen. So that's nice, but I mean, it's not, you know, it's a arguably minor feature to have display scaling, you know, it doesn't exactly make an OS. Yeah.
In reference mode, I mean,
I still have no idea what it is.
Right. Well, I mean, even as a video editor, I mean, I don't make – I do some things outside of YouTube, but even for those things, it just doesn't make sense for me to use all the time. So I'm not going to do that either. So, but it's nice to have. I can understand, you know, it's, these are features for people, you know, who might need it. Nice to have. I'm happy for them. But the rest of the stuff is, you know, iOS updates. We have the mail app, you know, features, the messages. We have a weather app. That's cool, I guess. A lot of people have been wanting that. Still no calculator, but, you know, you can download one. So what are your thoughts about the rest of the – is there anything that you want to highlight that you really enjoyed?
I mean, it's a super minor thing, but I will say maybe a couple. One that I like is the new customizable toolbars. That's okay. The kind of feature that you've had that on the Mac for ages, right? In every app on the Mac, you can right-click and say customize toolbar. And you drag in the icons and the buttons that you want. You can do it in Mail, in Safari. Like, it's a staple of macOS. Now you have that on iPadOS. Well, that's cool. You know, incompatible apps, you reminders, for example. You can go in and say, let me customize the toolbar. I don't want to have this button. I want to have something else. And developers can use it, so that's cool. There are some updates to files, like... you can finally rename a file and change the extension. I mean, you know, it's they've done all these very small desktop class enhancements, they call them, which are super minor things that very few people are going to appreciate. But then again, really, the iPadOS 16 story, once you remove Stage Manager from it, it kind of feels like iPadOS 15, you know, part two. Essentially, like it's a grab bag of a bunch of stuff that some of them are a long time coming. Like all this, in the contacts app, you can now manage your groups like 10 years after the iPad was announced. Like it's a bunch of stuff that was meant to be here years ago. They collected it all up in iPadOS 16, but really the feature is Stage Manager, which is why I think everybody, you know, has been talking about it this summer, because it's not like on iOS where, you know, you have a bunch of things like in the camera, in photos, and you have the lock screen. Like, there's a lot to talk about there. Here, there's one feature to talk about and a bunch of miscellaneous updates. You know, it's so there's really not a lot.
Have you had a chance to mess around with Freeform? Either of you, Hartley, have you had a chance to mess around with Freeform?
No, I haven't. I watched your video, though, which was interesting to see it actually. Because what I'm trying to get my head around with Freeform is just what makes it different to the Notes app. And I understand the focus on a sort of whiteboard-like experience, but just trying to work out where that fits in if you're not using it specifically for collaboration is a little bit of a question for me. I don't know if I just don't quite get it, but that's what interests me, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I've used it a little bit. I think Apple pitched it as a collaboration app, right? This sort of shared whiteboard, and you can have FaceTime calls, which I understand. I think there's going to be there's potential for sort of a single user, use cases as well. Basically, what they have made is like. A mind mapping utility, like an infinite canvas where, I think it makes a lot of sense for people who are visual thinkers. Like me personally, I prefer to use Notes, right? I just have a text document and, you know, have an outline, drag in an image, maybe a link, and that's it. Like, because I deal with text. But I understand that there's a ton of folks out there who just need to have like this, the sort of the visual like structure. So you can have like things on the left are your ideas for today. And then you can plan the rest of the week, you know, in this infinite canvas. And obviously, I think it also makes a lot of sense for people who are really into the Apple Pencil. As like you were saying before, like especially on the iPad where you have the Apple Pencil integration, I think it makes a lot of sense there. And if anything, I think what Freeform does well in this first beta is it's kind of like this mix of an iWork app and Notes, right? You can see the DNA of both products in there, like both the iWork sort of the how it syncs documents, the kind of gestures that you have, but also the notes DNA in terms of like, yeah, you can draw, you can write, you can type, you can drag in photos, you can do whatever. So you have a mix of both. And I think it works really well, especially on the iPad and the Mac, because it's a really good showcase of drag and drop. Like, you can pick up all kinds of things you like, and you can drop them there. So whether it's a Safari web page, some text, an email message, a photo, a video, like, it's a really nice way to test the limits of drag and drop. I think it'll be well received. I mean, initial feedback seems positive so far. So I think it'll be definitely more popular than Clips, I guess. So that, you know, not a high bar, but I think it'll be quite popular. I would love to grab one of my reminders and drag it over to Freeform and have it still be like an actual reminder. Like, imagine having a reminder that also is linked in Freeform. Mm. And when you check it off from Freeform, like, it's a live reference to the reminder. That's probably the kind of stuff that will happen in the future, not right now. I don't know how I'm going to use Freeform. I think there's going to be, I can imagine, like, in a shared environment, and probably that's why Apple announced it that way. Like, you know, sharing like ideas with our web designer, you know, like quick prototypes and sketches, and, you know, and you can have sort of mixed media in the same board. So like, yeah, let me have a quick drawing for you, but also a link, but also some text. The kind of stuff that maybe you could have done with notes before, but here you have more freedom because of the infinite canvas. So I can imagine that I'm probably going to use it like that.
No, I think that's really interesting. I think that this is something that Apple could definitely get better at, is understanding their different productivity apps. I'm hesitant to call some of Apple's productivity apps when you compare them to some of the third-party offerings. But imagining those more as an overall package that should integrate a little more with each other. It would be really nice mm-hmm. to see even just reminders playing more nicely with notes. I mean, Apple started to lean a little bit more into rich links, and it's easy to mm-hmm. see how that fits in with Freeform, but they need to go further with that. I mean, I know you've been very interested in using bidirectional links in notes, which is really a very idea, and something I really love as someone that's coming from Obsidian as well.
Yeah.
They need to go further with thinking about how power users actually use these things, because some of these apps are powerful, and what is more powerful than these things being the default on your devices? But the people that do use this sort of thing need it to be realized together, I think. That's my takeaway from Freeform.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And especially, you know, the thing you said about notes and, you know, having those bidirectional links, like, that's the kind of feature that has really taken off in this modern generation of note-taking apps. That whole market, I think, it kind of feels like it happened because of the pandemic, right? With the lockdowns and everything, it feels like, because we all spend so much time at home, I guess we all reorganized our notes. And I don't think it's a coincidence that in the past 2 years, we've seen Obsidian, Notion absolutely take off, Craft, Roam, like all these modern tools for note-taking. And it kind of feel like I was kind of hoping that Apple would observe what was happening in that space. And maybe in iOS 16, come up with a simplified version of some of those ideas in notes. Usually that's what they do, right? They take something that is popular and established, and they simplify it for the masses, right? For the millions, billions of people who are going to use their products. That didn't happen with note-taking. And I hope it's something that they keep an eye on, because you can see Notion absolutely like taking over the market in collaboration in teams at schools. So in education context, like, it's incredible what the Notion team has done there. Now, I'm not saying that notes should become Notion. That's a terrible idea. But maybe some of the key features of this modern generation of notes apps, they should maybe find their way to Apple's own Notes app as well.
So here's what I was kind of thinking about Freeform. And sorry for those of you who are watching and I just kind of disappeared. I've been having some mic issues, but I think I sound better.
Yes, you do.
Okay, good. So while you guys were talking about that, my apologies if you've mentioned this because I had to fix the microphone. But what I was thinking with Notion, because you brought it up, notes should not be that. But I feel like Freeform could be just a little bit like that if it integrated the other apps and things that we talked about with like notes and reminders. And you can make kind of like your own little canvas of ways to like, you know, dive into something further. Like you have it sectioned off and how people use Notion. And then they click on, you know, a table of something and they can dive into the notes app of where you written out your script or your story, you know, for us who do those kinds of things. And then, you know, you can kind of dive into your reminders and kind of back up and go back to the base level of your board. Like that's kind of what I could see happening. It doesn't need to be as feature rich, but I mean, you could do it.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I think I would imagine that Apple takes a look at, you know, all these dashboards that people build for themselves in Notion. As you mentioned, like these tables, and you drill down and you have your to-dos and you have your notes and you have your homework or you have your meeting notes and whatever. Mm-hmm. And you got to imagine that Apple looks at this and they're like, well, our home screen is your dashboard and you can have widgets that's your, like, if I were Apple, obviously they're taking a look at this and they're like, well, we're going to take the native approach. Like we don't like to build web apps. We like to build native apps. And our answer to that is the home screen and widgets. And that's an idea, right? But that also means that you got to make sure that your widgets are vastly more flexible than they are right now, right? The reason why people like Notion, kids like Notion, like it's incredible to see, like, you know, teenagers in high school using Notion. Right. And I think one of the reasons they like it is the customization, but just how much time it can save you when taking a note or checking off a to-do, you know, browsing all this kind of material that you may have for homework or for research. And widgets, in the meantime, on iPadOS and iOS, are still non-interactive, right? I mean, you tap on a widget, you always leave the home screen and you're taken somewhere else. That's another, interactivity is another feature that I think a lot of us were expecting at WWDC this year, and it didn't happen. And so you end up in this funny situation where the same company is making a widget on Android, the Apple Music one, that lets you, for example, control music playback from the home screen because it's interactive. And on iOS, it's not. It takes you to the music app, and I think that's kind of funny.
So I guess we're kind of moving into sort of wish list features for iPadOS 17. And I actually think that you've touched there on Federico on one of the things that for me is something I would really like to see, which is the home screen being addressed. Because the home screen on iPadOS has always felt a little bit silly on the 12.9-inch iPad, at least in my opinion. And it's been better since we've been able to use these really big widgets that are iPad specific. And can make the home screen feel a little bit more purposeful. But I'm still not convinced that an iPhone-like approach of just a grid of apps is useful. And I think with Stage Manager as well, I think there is a direction to go now, providing something like, I don't know, the app library all at the bottom of the screen or a slightly narrower area to jump into apps, widgets at the top perhaps. I don't know, I'm not a UI designer, but I think that that is something that is so key to the iPad experience that is the next thing that is waiting to be done.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. I think, like, at the moment, what we have on the iPad is a glorified iPhone home screen. It's that, but bigger. And I think it would be such a wasted opportunity not to do anything on that front. So as you mentioned, like, maybe the app library can become part of it. Maybe, you know, I think the home screen should become more integrated with Stage Manager, for example. Like right now, you open Stage Manager, all it does is it blurs your home screen. you don't even see it. And it seems like waste not to have, for example, files and documents on the home screen, right? The whole idea of behind overlapping windows on a Mac, if you think about it, like, why are those windows overlapping? Well, because they're floating. Okay, why are they floating? Because you can see your desktop underneath. And why is that useful? Well, because you can drop stuff on your desktop and you can drag it back in a window. Like, that's the whole idea, right? The windows are overlapping on your desk. On your desk, you place your stuff. And if you want, you can drag and drop your stuff in between windows. And on the iPad, you have the overlapping windows, but they're floating on nothing. Like, they're just there. They blur the background, and the home screen has no say in it. And so I think that would be a waste to keep it like that. I think there should be maybe files and documents, maybe interactive widgets, maybe the app library, anything. Like, I'm not a UI designer. I don't know what am I even saying at the moment. I'm just, you know, what I know is what we miss. But how to do it? Well, I guess that's why we give our money to Apple, right? Because it's their job to figure it out. Yeah.
I mean, is it so hard to just get like what, and there's not a lot of good that an Android tablet can do because they're so kind of behind the times. But like, there are things that it can do that are very well, like, you know, a lot of customization, a lot of floating windows, and even a Surface tablet, you know, basically just runs full Windows. So my question is, should we just get Mac OS on it? Yes or no? What do you think?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I will be honest. There were times this summer when Stage Manager was really buggy. And it was always crashing for me. Thankfully, that's not the case anymore. But I had my moments of weakness when I thought, you know what? What if I could use macOS on this? Like, I thought about it. And now, like, I still don't think macOS would feel as nice in tablet mode as iPadOS does. Like, when you're holding the iPad, like, that's the key thing for me. That the iPad lets me choose, right, how I want to use it. It can be a tablet, it can be in portrait, it can be in landscape, or I can pair a keyboard, and soon enough, I will be able to plug in a monitor. But I can choose, and I can switch between those modes. And when you use the iPad as a tablet, it's a very nice tablet, which is something that you cannot say about a Surface, for example, where, yeah, you can use it as a tablet, but Windows is still very much optimized for a pointer and desktop mode. So I just don't want Apple to lose track of that. Like, but at that point, the question becomes, what can happen more quickly? iPadOS to, you know, becomes as flexible for power users as macOS, or macOS becomes optimized for tablet mode?
That
and
one.
I see you're nodding there. Yeah.
It's that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an engineer. I'm not a designer. I'm not, you know, I do not develop anything. But my hunch is it's got to be easier to be able to make macOS fit the constraints of a smaller screen, which they already do, and make it work in that way, as opposed to just redesigning an entire operating system and making it as good as, you know, because this wasn't the point. They never wanted it to be like this, but people wanted it to be like this. So they're giving us what we want without giving us what we want. And it's incredibly frustrating. And, you know, when I look at the thing like the Surface tablets, they have a tablet mode, even though it's not good, but they have a tablet mode. And then they have full-on Windows 10 or 11, whatever we're on now. And, I mean, why can't we just do that at the very least? Why can't I just switch from regular iPad OS so you can keep on developing and innovating for tablet OS, or I'm sorry, I just called it tablet OS, iPad OS, and then give me Mac OS when I want it. You know, if I want to hop on Final Cut Pro on the airplane and use it on an iPad, like, why can't I do those two things? I feel like you could do that easily rather than trying to make iPad OS work when it hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I get it. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think realistically, you also got to ask yourself the question, like, very clearly and very publicly, for the past few years, Apple has been making iPadOS and macOS more consistent with each other. Mm-hmm. And you see this feature, like, I mean, take a look at Stage Manager. It's literally the same feature launching on two separate operating systems. And from an economical perspective, like, you got to ask, how can we possibly continue making the same thing twice? It's like, imagine that, you know, you have a family and you got to cook dinner, but imagine cooking dinner separately for each member of your family. Like, you cook dinner for one and then you wash all your dishes and then you cook the same dinner again for another person. And each time you do the whole thing from scratch and you wash the dishes and then you start over. That's kind of like what they've been doing with iPadOS and macOS. They're launching the same features, but separately. And you got to ask, how long can this go? Like, can it continue for, let's say, 10 years from now? Do we imagine iPadOS and macOS still be separate? And if you asked me 5 years ago, I would have said, absolutely, they're going to keep them separate. But given what they've been doing for the past few years, you know, the design of Big Sur comes to mind. You know, iPad gaining, you know, Finder-like features in files, shortcuts on the Mac, Stage Manager in both places, external display support, keyboard shortcuts. Like, there's this very obvious continuum between iPadOS and macOS. How realistic? And I mean, that's not to mention, of course, Mac Catalyst, right? You literally have a technology to build an iPad app and run it on macOS. How long can you continue making two versions of the same thing? I think it's a fair question.
Hartley?
No, I think this is the big question for Apple's platforms going forward. I think that I've talked about this before, my solution that I would like to see happen is the idea of a scalable OS that fundamentally changes depending on the display size and whether the user is wanting a pro experience or a more simplistic experience. But I don't see how, especially when we're getting into the territory of larger iPads, which are now rumored, you know, we're expecting to see iPads next year, perhaps in 14 and 16 inch sizes. And also in the not too distant future, foldable iPads, which will have both small and large display areas. And then when you think about things like the iPad mini that don't run Stage Manager, at some point there's got to be a system of scaling to get between these different display sizes. It seems like an inevitability, but I also find it hard to believe that Apple will use macOS in that way. And if they do, I sort of believe it will be a stopgap because macOS is so old, it's built on such old technologies, and the iPad is so well optimized and so nimble by comparison. But that was going to make a lot of Mac fans very unhappy. So this must be the ongoing debate.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we can only comment on the things we see right now. We don't have the benefit of looking into the future as, you know, as a manager at Apple can do, because they know what they're working on for the next 2, 3, 5 years, maybe. But one possible theory could be what we were just discussing. Why are you making the same things twice for iPadOS and for macOS? And maybe if you look, you know, big picture, take a look at what's coming up in the next 5 years, maybe, I think it's realistic, a folding tablet. Well, maybe the answer is they care so much about having this consistency when going from iPadOS to macOS, because maybe at some point the same device will run both. When it's folded, it'll run iPadOS and it'll be like an iPad mini. And when you physically open it up, it'll be macOS, and you will have that consistency, right? You will see, oh, Stage Manager, you know, I know it from the small display. It's also on the big display. Files becomes Finder, you know, customizable toolbars. Like, that consistency pays off when you are literally moving on the same device from one environment to another. Maybe that's why they care so much. Or the simple answer is they're just going to merge them eventually. But I think it's more, I think a decade ago, I would have said that's a terrible idea. But given where we are right now, I think it's more realistic than ever to expect that at some point. I don't think I can honestly answer the question, do you think it'll always, like, do you think they'll keep them separate forever? And honestly, I cannot say yes right now, because I don't think it's realistic to expect iPadOS and macOS to be forever separate. At some point, something's got to give, I think. And maybe the folding tablets will be the reason why Apple for the past 5 years has been working so hard on making things consistent. Maybe.
All right, we have four minutes left, and I want to briefly touch on the new iPads because they just came out yesterday. And honestly, there's really two things, in my opinion, that are worth talking about, and that's the Apple Pencil hover feature and the cool smart or Magic Keyboard Folio that we cannot have on an iPad Pro, but we can have on a device that most people probably won't be using it in the way that others would want to use this with that folio and the keyboard. You know, I just don't think a lot of people care about having a keyboard for that type of iPad specifically, but it is nice to have. But it's a really good product, and I wish we could have that for the iPad Pro. So let's start with that. Your thoughts? Have you used it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The keyboard is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
You have a function row and you have a taller trackpad. I think it comes down to whether you like kickstands or not. There are some people that are very vocal about disliking kickstands. I personally love kickstands. I love the adjustable angle. I love you gotta have a desk. You gotta have a table. They're not as optimal for lap usage as a Magic Keyboard. In the right conditions, I really like the flexibility of it. And what I also like is with this design, you can detach the keyboard, just use the iPad with the back cover and the kickstand. I've actually been using it like holding the kickstand in my hands like a giant pop socket,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of funny. And it looks a bit ridiculous, but it's totally something you can do. And overall, I like it, but it's weird that they have done this accessory just for this iPad.
Right.
And it doesn't work with anything else. Like, I like it, but it's weird. Yes.
That's where I'm getting at, too. I don't understand why they put all these things that would have been nice to have for the iPad Pro on an iPad that probably deserves it the least next to the iPad mm-hmm. Mini.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is Apple Pencil hover feature. Now, you use your iPad on a regular basis as your main device. Do you think this is something that you could use? Like, do you draw a lot? I don't, so I don't know.
No.
Okay. So, like, do you think you'd use your Apple Pencil more because of the hover feature as, like, kind of a way to interact with the iPad? Or
yeah. Yeah, like, that's what I've been doing for the past week. And I thought, oh, maybe this is just a gimmick because it's a novelty and it'll wear off in a few days. And it still hasn't. So maybe there's something there. I've been using it as a pointing device, basically, mm-hmm. in touch mode. Because in touch mode, when you're just using the iPad as a tablet, so outside of the Magic Keyboard, you don't have hover functionalities, right? If you're just using your finger. But with Pencil Hover, now you do. So I've been using it as an addition to multi-touch. And it's been working very nicely so far, and it helps that the pencil attaches to the iPad, so you can always carry it with you. Now, a week is probably still not enough. Like, I literally got it last Thursday as we're recording this. But I can tell you, in a week, it still hasn't worn off. That sense of, oh, it's cool to use a pencil and, you know, as a pointing device. Will I eventually abandon it? Maybe. I don't know. But so far, it's not just cool, it's also very convenient. I can tell you that.
Hartley, any thoughts on those two features? Well, one product, one feature.
Well, I think for me, I think that the reason why this keyboard emerged on the entry-level iPad and on the Pros is because I think they've made the evaluation that being able to use the iPad on your lap is a Pro feature, ultimately. And they know they can't do both. They can't offer both the lap functionality and the kickstand functionality.
But it's not good. It's still not good on your lap. Like, the Magic Keyboard is still not good. It's better.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, I mean, the kickstand's unusable on your lap, but the Magic Keyboard's still not great. It still feels very squished and crammed, and especially if you have a smaller iPad. I mean, forget it. It's just hard. But I don't know.
I think that's what I'd like to see, is the Magic Keyboard for the iPad Pro just iterated on. I think it's definitely, the iPad keyboards are in a much better state than they were years ago, but we need some bigger trackpads, we need function keys, and we need some method like a kickstand. I mean, maybe the kickstand should be built into the iPad itself. I know, maybe that's a controversial idea, but...
I like that idea.
iPad Surface Pro, love it.
Yeah.
Especially if iPads are going going landscape now. To me, that would maybe make some sense.
That whole controversy.
Hover has also interested me. Just seeing how well it is used throughout the system and just how it really functions like a cursor, which I don't think I was really expecting when I first saw this explained. I thought, oh, it's just for illustration apps. It won't be that useful. But now, it's not going to make me buy a new iPad Pro, but I think I will look forward to using it when I do buy a new one. It's a nice little feature to have, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to wrap up there. Federico, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you want to plug here? I know everybody reads your stuff and listens to everything, but you know, let's go ahead and plug your stuff anyways.
I mean, MacStories.net, you can go there and see all the things that we do. AppStories.net is the podcast that I do each week with John. We talk about apps and, you know, iPad, iPhone, Mac, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So those two places are great. You know, you can find all the things we do at Mac Stories and App Stories, and you get a pretty good summary of all the things we cover, with the focus on apps and iPad. And John, of course, is more focused on Mac and macOS. Yeah.
And follow him on Twitter too. There's some good content there. You're going to want to check it out.
Oh yeah, there's a Twitter mostly. It's usually either work stuff or just silly things and memes. So it's a pretty good balance there.
It's a good work meme balance. I mean,
as long as Twitter lasts, right? We don't know what's going to happen there. So enjoy it while we have it, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. We can't always have nice things, I've realized. It was nice for a while. Yeah. So thank you so much, and we'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.